Welcome, everybody, to the Friar Talk podcast. Today, we're going to be recapping the Pirates series, previewing the Dodgers series, and also having a full segment on a little bit of a Jace Tingler rant. But we'll start out with the preview in this episode. So, Chase, do you want to start it off and kind of talk about this Pirates series?
Yeah, we ended up splitting the series with the Pirates in kind of a disappointing way. We left a lot of runners on base and kind of just wasn't able to hit in positions. Snell sort of struggled. I mean, he mildly struggled, but the rest of the pitching looked good. Paddock did pretty good today. 5 innings, 1 earned run. You know, that's kind of the Paddock that we're kind of want to see and want to continue seeing throughout the whole season. He did struggle in the second inning, but he pulled through with, I think, 1 run. And then, so as long as he continues to look like that and the Padres continue to hit in with runners in scoring position like they did today, you know, we will be fine with the Dodgers series.
Yeah, just kind of touching up on what Chase said, you know, hitting with runners in scoring position was definitely a struggle up until today. The first 3 games of the series, we were 5-for-31 with runners in scoring position. I think 2 or 3 of those hits being with Will Myers, who we didn't have in the other games, and it definitely showed because we struggled in those other games to hit. But today, you know, the bats came alive, and everyone was hitting from 1-9. Well, not really 1-9. You know, Kim 0-for-5, Campy 0-for-4, something like that. But Blake Snell, that's a huge thing that we're all going to, you know, think about going into this Dodger series. Definitely a big chance for him to bounce back, and we're going to talk about that later. Chris Paddock, though, you know, I'm happy with what he showed today. 5 strong innings, 1 earned run, and hopefully we can get that out of our 4th starter, or maybe 5th soon down the line.
So let's start with Blake Snell then and kind of get into him a little bit. He comes out, doesn't get out of the 1st inning against the Pirates, and this is especially, I think it's concerning just because we haven't seen him go past 5. He's done 4 2/3, just 5, and then under an inning. And now he's scheduled to pitch against, I believe it's Trevor Bauer on Sunday is his matchup. So he needs to step up, I think. I don't think that, like, he hasn't looked good. Like, he's looked pretty good for the most part. His ERA is still pretty low. I think this was by far his worst outing, and I do believe it's an outlier on what we should expect to see throughout the season. But the big thing with him is that he keeps getting guys down 0-2 and then throws 3 balls. And we see the pitch count climb so high early on in the games where he pitches, where, and when we were talking about it, it looks like he's trying to strike out every single guy. And that's nice because he gets a lot of strikeouts. His strikeout numbers are fantastic, and he doesn't allow guys to score. But the biggest concern with him is how deep can he pitch into the ball games? And so far early on in the year, we haven't seen him do that. But Chase, do you think there's a chance that we kind of see him start doing that from here on out?
Yeah, I think as the season continues to progress, you know, he'll probably get used to each one of his off-speed pitches a little bit more and be able to control them and throw them where he wants as the season progresses. You know, sort of a short season last year, and then he started off well, still a little wild, then 1 outing was really good. And then there was this one where he just seemed he couldn't find the plate with his off-speed and sometimes his fastball. We saw the one that hit the backstop and then nearly came back to the mound with how hard it hit it. So I think he will be fine. It'll just probably take a couple more starts. I'm hoping he goes maybe 5, maybe 6 innings. Then again, it also allows if Tingler lets him go that long because he's kind of pulled Snell short a couple times where he probably could have finished another inning. But we'll see. I think he'll bounce back and be fine on Sunday.
Yeah, this is kind of a big bounce back opportunity. Obviously not like the matchup you want, but this is kind of the matchup that we want to see him flourish in. We want to see him go 5 or 6 innings strong, you know, maybe 1 or 2 earned runs because that is a strong Dodgers lineup. But just talking about this past series, his start against the Pirates was definitely a little rough, only threw around 40 pitches. You saw him hang a slider to, I don't know his first name, the Stallings, who hit it. He just hit a bomb. Another bomb was hit by someone else, and it was definitely rough to see. He probably could have finished the inning, but, you know, it wasn't a very good outing. And you saw a lot of miscommunication with him and Campusano. So maybe, you know, Caratini needs to catch him, or maybe when Nola comes back, he'll have to catch. Hopefully we see him go 5 or 6 strong. You know, that's all we can ask for right now. Hopefully a good outing.
Yeah, I would say that I think whatever Padre fan is just kind of hoping that Tuesday game was as far of an outlier as we'll see. Not just with him, but with everything. That was one of the strangest, just sloppy baseball games I've watched in a while. 6 hit batters. The Padres got walked 13 times. Then I believe they were 1-for-13 with runners in scoring position. So that game was awful. If you look back on Monday, Darvish came out, looked fantastic. Lineup was all right. And, you know, just a quality win. Then Wednesday, we kind of see the bullpen not really look that good. I think it was Adams that came in. It was the eighth inning, and he allowed, I think, three runs. And Musgrove didn't look bad in that game. And then, of course, Paddock today. And I thought Paddock looked pretty solid today. I think that, well, I guess my question to you guys is, do you guys think that Paddock can stay how he is in this game? Like, can he look like that more often? Or is that just kind of him facing the Pirates and beating up on those bad teams like we've talked about before? Because if these three games are what we're going to see of Paddock, where he's pitching around five innings, you know, 4 to 5 innings, and he has a 4 ERA, I don't think that's worst case scenario. Now, of course, we want to see him flourish, but from what we've seen, where it's just kind of all over the place, is this what we're going to expect? Like, these kind of outings where he comes in, pitches five, allows a run? Like, I don't know. How do you guys think he's going to perform as the season goes on? And we've definitely talked about Paddock a lot too, but what should we expect from Paddock moving forward?
So it's hard to say, because the two teams he faced before this, he did struggle. And then the second inning did happen where he loaded the bases up and he did get out of it with only one earned run. And then in the inning, he let up another two runners, and two runners shouldn't have scored because of a Marcano error. But you see these runners keep getting on, and he doesn't kind of regulate that. Not walking people, they're just hitting the ball. So even then, the Pirates probably still had 5 or 6 hits off of him. So it's hard to say, because he got out of it this time. But in the second inning, we all thought at one point, we're like, oh no, we should probably get somebody up in the bullpen before this turns really bad. And he got out of it. And then the fifth inning happened. You know, he had a clean fourth inning. And then the fifth inning happened. You're just like, okay, I know he can probably go 4 or 5 solid innings, but where in those five innings is he going to run into trouble? And is he going to get out of it? Which, you know, for most times, Paddock hasn't. So I want to say, if he goes 5 innings, he's probably going to give up 3 earned runs almost each start. That's where I'm at with Paddock and where I think he is.
Yeah, and I've mentioned it before, I've probably been the biggest fan of Chris Paddock out of us three. So, you know, seeing him succeed today was definitely really good to see. But it seems like each outing he has, he definitely has that one inning that he struggles really bad. Like, for example, the Diamondback series, we saw the first inning. The Ranger series, I want to say it was like the second or third, I don't really remember. And then this one, it was the second, where we saw him throw, I think, around 15 pitches in the first. Then he goes up to 40 in the second. So, you know, that's a lot of pitches to be thrown. And those are the kind of things that's killing him, preventing him from going deep into ball games, which I don't really expect Paddock to go deep into ball games, because he doesn't really have the pitching plethora to be able to go a third time around in the lineup. But today was definitely good to see. I definitely think he probably will struggle some against teams like the Dodgers, Braves, any teams that are top tier caliber teams. But against the weak teams, I hope he would beat on them. So good outing today. Hopefully we see more of that. 3-4 earned runs, 3-4 ERA, I mean, and I'd be happy with that.
Yeah, and he needs to just continue to get out of those jams, because that's been the thing. When it's like, oh, there's two guys on, that's when it just seems to always fall apart, and he just allows run after run after run. And it's always like one big inning. So we got to see him get out of that today. If he can continue to do that, and he only pitches 5 innings on, you know, in most starts, 4 to 6 innings, let's say, I think that we'd all be okay with that as the fifth starter this year. Like, that's not worst case scenario. Now, of course, you don't want him, you know, having to pitch against the Dodgers or pitch in a really pivotal game or a playoff game even. I don't think anyone wants to see that anymore. I think that there's a lot of reason for why we don't want to see that. But these kind of games, these outings where he comes in, does well against a team that's not that great, and you get the win, that's a big deal for this when you look into the 162-game season. So I think it was a big step in the right place today for Paddock. And I don't know. I guess we'll get into the kind of the negative aspect of this series, but the hitting up until today was not good. And we'll talk about Jace Tingler a little bit more, but the lineups are very, very interesting, where I don't know why they have guys hitting in specific spots. Will Myers was kind of carrying this whole offense. Well, Will Myers, Trent Grisham, and Jake Cronenworth have all been the guys that have really been carrying this lineup. Today we saw a lot of guys get on, and we saw a lot of people look really good. But outside of those three guys, how do you guys feel about the struggles of this lineup? Do you guys think this is something that we should be really concerned about? Because I think they'll be all right over the long, like the over the season. But right now, I'm very concerned about it. I'm especially concerned going into this Dodgers series.
I think Machado will pull around. So we know Machado, you know, he starts off slow and continues to build up as the season goes on. And we kind of saw that today. You know, he hit the 2-run home run. And, you know, he continues to get hits. And so I'm not too worried about Mo. Pham has been struggling heavily. We expected Kim to struggle at the beginning of season. Campusano's been really unlucky. Profar's been hitting. It just seems like he doesn't hit with people on. So there goes back to the point. They can't hit with runners in scoring position or runners on base. Today, they seem to do it pretty well. It may be an outlier, but we also started stealing, and it just started to work. So not too worried for, like, our top four, top five guys. Haas has been killing it. He's hitting, like, 340, and he's been an RBI machine when Myers has been out. So I'm pretty much only worried about Pham and, you know, maybe Profar with runners in scoring position. I expect Kim to do better towards the middle and half of the season. Caratini's been solid. You know, that would only get better when Nola comes back and, you know, when Tatis comes back, because we are missing Myers and Tatis right now. So we can maybe chalk it up to that or not. We shall see in the next series.
Yeah, I'm not. I wouldn't say I'm concerned because the problem hasn't been getting runners on. The problem has been getting runners in. So the thing is, we're top five or we're top three in baseball in terms of getting runners on and getting runners in scoring position. It's just a problem. And we saw the Padres were really good at bringing runners in scoring position in last year. I think they batted 310, which was tops in the league. And so I definitely think this is kind of like an outlier right now. I definitely think the lineup's going to start coming around when it comes to bringing runners in. Because, you know, you don't go from being number one in baseball and bringing runners in to, you know, suddenly being a team like this that fast. So, you know, so the lineup is going to come around. Like I said, the problem hasn't been getting runners on, it's been bringing runners in. So with our lineup, you know, especially with the guys that are going to be coming back, definitely think, you know, this is going to be a bounce back team, whether it's this series or whatever series comes. But obviously Tommy Pham has been the biggest disappointment so far. And I think we had a video where I said that he needs to be the guy that bounces back the most. And it's shown, because whenever there's runners on, he's grounding out into double plays. And those are times when we need him to come up big, because he's always batting fourth or fifth in the lineup. But I guess he has been a little unlucky. So hopefully he comes around. And, you know, I definitely think this lineup is going to come around soon, though.
I think that you guys bring up very fair points. But also I would like to bring up, like, how many guys have been hurt. Because Pham and Machado are probably and Cronenworth are the only guys that have been pretty much healthy and in the lineup as consistent bats every day. And even Cronenworth was fighting for a starting spot in spring training. So you look around, you go, okay, Trent Grisham's missed some time. Will Myers missed some time this series. Tatis has obviously been out. I guess Hosmer's been there the whole time too, but, like, there's a lot of bats that haven't been there. And the lineups have been weird. So you have Tommy Pham batting in cleanup. You brought up how much he's been grounding into double plays. That just doesn't make any sense. So I think that when you kind of have the normal lineup back, you can put Eric Hosmer where you want to put him consistently. Same with Tatis, you know, Machado, all these big bats. They need to be in better positions to bring guys in, I think. And I think that will turn it around a lot. But I think that's going to do it for this recap series. So we're going to be talking about Jace Tingler and why it has been an incredibly frustrating start for all Padres fans watching games day in and day out. And for anyone that's first checking out this channel, I'm Matt. Chase is next to me and Isaac is below me right now. So I'll let you start, Chase. What has frustrated you most about Jace Tingler to start this year?
Probably the way he uses base runners. Like, he'll send runners on, just steal third, and okay, wow, Tatis failed at stealing third. You know what? Let's send Cronenworth the next inning with two outs to steal third and watch him get thrown out again. And then, oh, you know, let's send Hosmer to steal second today for some reason, because Hosmer all of a sudden has all the speed in the world. And, oh, you know what? Yesterday, let's send Machado and steal second. Like, we have certain guys that are really good at stealing bases, and that's Pham, Grisham, Tatis, Myers, Cronenworth. I'd even put Profar in there. And when they're on base, you don't really see them steal bases, but then you're going to send Machado and you're going to send Hosmer to steal second. It just doesn't really make sense. And then the other thing would be the lineups. We've had some really funky lineups this past series in particular. I get it. We have Myers out and Tatis out, but you can create a better lineup than having, you know, a guy that's struggling and grounding out with runners in scoring positions and Pham batting cleanup. You know, Isaac, you want to continue going on with that?
Yeah, so I think it's funny that Tommy Pham, a guy who's batting maybe 100 and consistently grounding out into double plays, is bringing on like batting cleanup. Like, why? He hasn't shown the power, the consistency, you know, even the hitting ability to be able to hit cleanup, because obviously we know that, you know, Hosmer has shown so far this season that in that cleanup spot, he has been able to bring in runners. I think Machado batted cleanup today. He hit a bomb and brought in some runners. So who's the one guy that batted cleanup so far that hasn't brought in runners? Tommy Pham. But also relating back to, you know, Chase's thoughts about the base running stuff, last year, you know, and obviously I don't want to keep bringing up last year. I do, but last year, I think through the first 20 games or so, we were number one in stealing bases. And as we saw through those games, we were putting up a lot of runs. And right now, with, you know, how much we're struggling getting runners in, basically we need to steal some bags. We need to just put players in the best position to score some runs, you know, get our best hitters up there, Tatis, Machado. And I think I kind of want to ask you guys, who would you guys put in your top five? I think against righties, I would go Grisham, Cronenworth, Tatis, Machado, Hosmer.
I think I'd have the same. Because the lineup today made more sense. And that was something that we were kind of that you were talking about. When you have Pham batting fourth, it doesn't make any sense. He's the guy that's struggling the most, maybe outside Ha-Seong Kim. Those guys should not be hitting fourth. Eric Hosmer is tearing the cover off the baseball. Trent Grisham tearing the cover off the baseball. Jake Cronenworth tearing the cover off the baseball. All of them. They're all doing this. They're hitting over 300. They're about 340, 350 each of them. So why are those the guys that aren't going 1-3-4 or 1-2-4, whatever it is? And of course, you can have Machado in any of the 2-3-4 spots. Today, we saw it actually work out, and we saw guys actually get driven in immediately. The top of the lineup is what worked today. Like, that's exactly what worked. And so I think that's been my big, like, how I've been so frustrated. And I talked about it when we were recapping the Pirates series as well, that these lineups, I think, are a big reason that the Padres aren't scoring a lot of runs. They're hitting with average. Everyone's getting on base. They're even hitting bombs. Yeah, so a lot of times it's a Trent Grisham leadoff home run or something of that nature where these guys aren't getting driven in that much. Today we see the game start. We see Jake Cronenworth get an RBI double. Then we see Machado hit a bomb. Then we see Hosmer get on, and then eventually Tucapita brings him in. That's all in the first inning because that top of the lineup is hitting. They're all hitting after each other. So they're able to actually generate runs where before it's like strong hitter, and then three weak hitters or whatever it is, you know, however they want to work the lineup, but it doesn't make any sense. And so that's why I've just been really frustrated. I will say to Jace Tingler's credit, the bullpen I think has been utilized really well. They haven't really wasted innings, and they've had some tough moments where they have not had starters go five innings in many, many outings. So maybe we see him kind of keep these guys and let them struggle a little bit in that fifth, sixth, you know, inning. But the bullpen's been utilized really well. I think we've seen Craig Stammen actually flourish in his new role. So I will give him credit for that and like on the pitching aspect of the game. But the hitting side, I feel like it's just really inhibiting the Padres from scoring a lot more runs. And I don't know, Chase, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I agree with your guys' lineups, and I do agree with that. I would change, though, that Tatis would be hitting second, Cronenworth hitting third, Machado batting cleanup, and Hosmer hitting five. I kind of like alternating left, right, left, right, left, right. And I almost thought about putting Cronenworth at five just because of how well he's been hitting the ball. And he just seems to be a hit machine. And there's those people on in front of him. He may just hit them in. You know, it may be a single, but it'll be an RBI single. So almost like hitting him, you know, maybe four, which is kind of hard to say, or fifth just because the runner's in front of him. But yeah, Tingler could manage this lineup in so many different ways, but we don't know how we get to these lineups where you're putting a guy that's struggling to make contact, or, and I wouldn't say make contact, but struggling to even hit the ball to someone that's not in on the warning track or ground out to short or third and into multiple double plays. And you're putting him at cleanup. If I'm Tingler right now, I probably wouldn't put Pham above the sixth spot. And that's being generous, just because of how bad he's been struggling. I know Pham gets on a lot and he does walk, which we haven't seen too much of, but I'm having trouble putting him anywhere above the sixth spot. And I don't know how Tinkler managed to put him in cleanup after that.
Yeah, and like we hear Don and Mark say all the time, this is a results-based business. And so far, everyone in the lineup, especially guys that can fill in for Tommy Pham, are doing better than him. You know, so obviously in my 6, 7, 8 spots, I would go Myers, Profar, and then the catcher spot, whoever's hitting that day. But I just don't want Pham in the lineup because he's not producing the way that we want him to. Results-based business, we got Profar who's constantly getting on, and maybe he's not bringing runners in, but he is doing his job, and he's doing what Tommy Pham isn't. And obviously, like we brought up in the Rangers video, we saw Tommy Pham jog to a ball that turned from a double into a triple. But absolutely, credit to Jace Tingler for how he's done with the bullpen. You're right about that, Matt. You know, our ERAs is really good for the bullpen, especially considering last year when, at the beginning of the season, we struggled mightily out of our bullpen, like really, really bad. But, you know, so far he's done really well with it, so he definitely deserves credit for that.
Yeah, so I think that's probably going to do it for this kind of Jace Tingler rant. We just kind of wanted to get out there and kind of say how we – I guess it's more of our evaluation of him so far. The weird stolen bases, especially with Machado, I don't get that. Or Hosmer. Hosmer's so slow. and he's been fantastic this year. Props to Eric Hosmer because he has been balling. But it doesn't make any sense to steal those guys. It doesn't make any sense to put Tommy Pham hitting cleanup. Like, he should probably be on the bench right now. Like, not – and we talked about we got to be patient with him. Someone commented that he's been the unluckiest player in the whole sport. So there's also that aspect. But even if you've been that unlucky, it doesn't constitute you hitting cleanup when you're struggling, when you're hitting the ball two guys consistently. That just let him hit lower in the lineup when he's in. And you know, let's get Profar out there. Because today we saw Profar hitting two, and I believe he had two hits and a walk. I don't know. He had a good game today, though. He got driven in, I think, twice. So if you like, the lineup just needs to be a lot better, I think, moving forward. And we can't have these weird steals. On the pitching side, I think they've done a good job, though I would like to see some of the starters get a little bit longer. But with that said, it's early on in the season, so that makes sense if they don't want to test their limits yet, because that's pretty normal. But overall, Jace Tingler, pitching side, it's been pretty solid. I think I'd say it's been really good, his decision making in the bullpen. But the stealing, the lineups, they are just weird so far. So I think that's where we're at, and that's going to do it for this segment. So getting into our last segment today, we're going to be previewing the Dodgers and the Padres series. I'll let you start it out, Isaac. What do you think about this series, and how do you think the Padres are going to fare?
Obviously, we're all very excited for this series. This is a potential NLDS or NLCS preview that we're watching. But I think the most exciting aspect of it is we're all very excited, not only to potentially get Tatis back, but to see Ryan Weathers pitch. You know, he's going to be making his debut as a starter, and I'm hoping he goes 4 or 5 innings and he holds it down. But it's kind of hard to predict how we're going to do in the series, because we saw in the Pittsburgh series we struggled for a couple games. Then we saw in the last game we bounced back. And what a good time to bounce back, you know, in the last game going into a big series. So hopefully we see more of that. Hopefully we see a lot of situational hitting. We're going to be at Petco in front of some home fans, and I definitely want to touch up on Blake Snell. Tough outing in Pittsburgh, but I definitely think he bounces back here. Great bounce back opportunity at home in front of the home fans. Hopefully he goes 5 or 6 innings against a team that we saw, you know, he did great against in the World Series, and he got taken out prematurely. But this is definitely an opportunity for him to go 5, 6 innings and show us that he's the starter that we've been wanting.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm kind of looking forward to a Snell revenge game and, you know, sort of Machado to face Bauer again, because, you know, Machado sort of dominates Bauer in almost every aspect. So looking forward to that. I do think we have the chance to win the series. It's a 3-game series, right? Or is it 4? So I think we have a chance to win it. I think it all depends on whether or not Weathers can go his 4 or 5 innings, because if he doesn't, you know, it might hurt the bullpen unless we have, you know, a guy that can kill 3 innings with minimal damage. So I think it depends on Weathers' performances on Friday, because if not, you know, we might have to utilize the bullpen a little bit differently and may not have the strongest guys out there, you know, Saturday, Sunday for, you know, the series finale.
Luckily, we have a guy that's established himself as that 3-inning set guy this last series, Craig Stammen. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but Craig Stammen's ERA has fallen to a 2.7. So he has looked really good lately. So maybe we see him in that role. I don't even think winning Friday necessarily means that they win the series, because I think a lot of it's going to depend on how Weathers looks. If he's able to, even if they lose the game and he's able to pitch, let's say 5-6 innings, that can be the difference in winning one of those other two games or both of those other two games, because the Dodgers lineup is really good. And yes, we have Yu Darvish and Blake Snell slated for those two games, but Snell's coming off of a rough outing, and it's not like the Dodgers lineup can't hit against ace pitchers. It's similar to our lineup, how it doesn't matter who's out there. Like, you can always have a great game. You know, we've seen Kershaw have a couple innings where he looks rough against the Padres. Well, that's going to be the same through Darvish and Snell and all those guys. Now, luckily, Snell, last time he played the Dodgers, he looked amazing against them. So let's hope that we see that again. I think that is a massive bounce back performance. And if it is a Bauer-Snell matchup on Sunday, which I believe it's going to be, that's the best game of the series, right? They're like the arms race pitchers where it's, hey, we're going to get this guy. He's going to be super important. Oh, you know what? We're going to get Bauer since you guys got Snell and Darvish. So I'm super excited for it. I think it's the most exciting thing. We haven't really even touched on that much is Fernando Tatis Jr. is going to be back. That's massive. That is big. I think that's probably the best part of this series besides the matchups on the mound on Saturday and Sunday. Yu Darvish versus Kershaw, love to see that. And then Snell versus Bauer, that's also great. But let's hope that Tatis kind of gets going, because yes, he had the injury stuff, but also before that, he was struggling. And so let's hopefully he comes out swinging. Hopefully we see an early home run or, you know, an early double or something where it's like, all right, Tatis is back. He's good to go. Let's roll. And that's how I hope Friday starts. Also, if you guys remember, I think most Padre fans do, but Ryan Weathers, his first outing was against the Dodgers, and he came in there and he looked fantastic. So him coming out there, having another good matchup against them, that would be huge. But what else are you guys kind of looking for? And am I right about Tatis being kind of the best part of this series, that we're getting him back?
Yeah, absolutely, man. We need another spark. It can't just be like relying on Grisham one game or another guy one game. Tatis sort of brings the whole team together, revitalizes them, energizes them. So they play much better when Tatis is in the lineup, and the record shows, like, when Tatis is out of the lineup, they do struggle a lot, or I wouldn't say a lot, but way more than they used to. So yeah, having Tatis back is going to be massive for the Padres. And the biggest thing I'm looking forward to is the Bauer-Machado matchup, because, you know, Bauer even admitted it himself, you know, one guy that owns me is Manny Machado. And if he can be a difference maker in these Padres-Dodgers series, you know, it could carry playoffs, and that would be massive for the Padres, even though it's only one game. That one game can be all the world to the Padres in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think the thing that I'm most excited about, and I think we're all most excited about, is these pitching matchups. Like Matt brought up, you know, we got Ryan Weathers versus Walker Buehler, and these are probably the pitching matchups. Nothing is set in stone, but I'm pretty sure the Dodgers set it up to where Buehler, Kershaw, and Bauer are going to be pitching against us. But we got Ryan Weathers against Buehler, Darvish against Kershaw, and I think, obviously, like Matt said, the biggest one's going to be our newest acquisitions. Theirs is Bauer, ours is Snell. Bauer, the new $40 million man, and, you know, we gave up a lot to get Blake Snell, so hopefully these guys, you know, we get a good matchup on each of the days, but primarily Sunday, because I think we're all very happy. Like Chase said, Machado owns Trevor Bauer. Getting Tatis back, man, getting the heart and soul of your team back is the most important aspect, because we've seen that, especially those two games that we really struggled with runners in scoring position, it looked like the Padres were flat, you know, like they just looked bored, I guess. I don't know, but, you know, Fernando coming back is absolutely the biggest aspect of this team. Hopefully we see the Fernando that we know, because we're going to need him against the Dodgers in this very big series.
I'd even like to say, I don't know if you guys realized it, but this is the first time we're going to see the Padres lineup fully healthy, as long as Myers is back, because it seems like Myers and Tatis will both be back. We're going to see them all both in the lineup, and Grisham was out the whole time before Tatis was hurt. So there's always been someone missing in the lineup. They're finally going to be back at full strength. I think that means a huge difference for them. And what I really want to see is I want to see the first two games split, and I want that Sunday game to be that, all right, who's going to win this opening series? And it's the marquee matchup. It's, you know, it's the Sunday San Diego game. I think that's what everyone wants. That's what I'm really hoping for. And I hope we get to see some competitive baseball. I don't want to see a blowout either way. I want to see a tight game. I want it to feel like playoff baseball again, because that was something that was really special. I mean, I don't know about you. Like, that was the first time I ever watched playoff baseball last year. And I think it's the same for you guys. it's special. It's super special. And hopefully, I mean, it's only April, so it's not definitely, we're far, far away from that moment, but it's exciting that it's almost like that atmosphere and everyone's going to be healthy, because that is just really, really big. And I'm really excited for Tatis to be back. I really hope he comes out and just balls out. Grisham's been, all the Padres bats have been swinging the bat really well, even though they haven't been scoring. So let's get it going. Let's get rolling. I think that would kind of add some momentum after this Pirates split series, because that if we beat the Dodgers in a 3-game series, that Pirates split series kind of gets forgotten a little bit. Like, hey, they were just looking ahead to the Dodgers. You know, they're excited to play them. They took down two of their three best pitchers. Like, that's what we want to see. And so I think we'll wrap it up with that. But thanks, everyone, for listening. And let's go, Padres. Let's beat the Dodgers this series. And I think we're all really excited for it. Coming off of not the best series against the Pirates. So I think this would be massive. We can take 2 out of 3. So thanks, everyone, for listening. And we'll talk to you guys soon.